Well, good morning. We are finishing the 16th chapter of the book of Proverbs. And I have four Proverbs for you this morning, beginning in verse 27 all the way to 30. And the advancements in medical science are tremendous in regards to disease and particularly in regards to cancer. But there is nothing more important than the prayer of the saints. And this was amplified to me on one particular occasion. I have a good friend whose wife was diagnosed at the University of Oklahoma Cancer Research Center with a form of cancer, and they got a second opinion at MD Anderson in Houston and confirmed the diagnosis. So they came back the following week to MD Anderson to meet with the oncologist to determine basically how long she had to live and what was going to be the form of treatment. Well, we had all been praying consistently over this matter, and I happened to be on that particular Friday when he was going to meet with the oncologist up in Chicago. And it was a November night, Friday night, freezing cold, as you can expect, Chicago, and I had just received the phone call from my friend's daughter. And I pulled in to the Sheridan Hotel by the airport. And I saw what the phone number was, so I was expecting to hear the worst. And here's what came on the other end of that line. "Mike, Daddy wanted you to be the first to know that we went into the oncologist today, and he came out and said, 'Mr. Davis, I don't know what we're looking for, but it's not here.'" And I sat there in that parking lot with the car still running because it was so cold, shut the key off, and I thought to myself, why do I ever doubt? Why do I ever doubt? Isn't this what you tell us to do, to pray? So that's my cancer story. Here is our four Proverbs beginning in Chapter 16, verse 27. These are four proverbs of a fool, a fool's behavior and his communication. Today we're going to get the proverbial definition of perversion in two places. You see it in verse 28 and also in verse 30. Verse 27, "A troublemaker is the one who prepares mischief, and on his lips is like a scorching fire." Here's 28. Here's the perverse person. "He unleashes conflict, and the slander is the one who alienates a close friend." 29. "A violent person entices his companion and leads him in the way that is not good." And 30, "Blinking his eyes, one devises," there's our word again, "perversity. Pursing his lips, he brings evil to pass." Here's the way I'm going to teach these four Proverbs, beginning in verse 27. This is what I think they teach. Stay clear of the flaming mouth. Verse 27. Stay clear of the flaming mouth. 28. Grumbling leads to action, which leads to separation. Grumbling leads to action, which leads to separation. And 29. Whatever it takes to advance, that's murder. Whatever it takes to advance, that's murder. That's how serious it is to be that ruthless in the book of Proverbs. Here's 30. The perverse mind is the one that gestures. The perverse mind is the one that gestures. Okay. So here are our Proverbs today. I would like for you, before we begin, to set a tab at Psalm 37. Because I want to look at a word there that I think will be a helpful meditation for you. There's a couple of things in here that I began to meditate upon, and they became very enlightening to me. Here's 27, a troublemaker is one who prepares. You may have plots in the NIV, ESV, New American Standard, King James uses the verb to dig. It's prepare mischief, and on his lips is like a scorching fire. A troublemaker, the word means actually a worthless, good for nothing. Now here's the way that word is used. I found it so profound. 2 Samuel 16:7, it is actually what the fool Shimei called King David when he was fleeing from Jerusalem and Absalom's rebellion. He threw stones at him and he called David a good for nothing. Now, what's interesting about that is Abishai, who rode with David, heard this, as did everyone, and Abishai said, "You want me to take care of this?" Meaning, put him into the past tense. And David was so sensitive to this discipline from the Lord, the judgment that God had brought in his life that was now concretized visibly in Absalom's rebellion. He said, "No, I believe that the Lord wants me to hear this, and this is a part of his discipline." Why is that so striking? Because you see, when David was in his sin with Bathsheba and he killed Uriah, as much so as to murder him with his own hands, you couldn't talk to David, couldn't reason with David. David's mind was all on himself. You know what I find? People that have been in great repentance are people with great sensitivity to the Lord. I just recently talked to a young man who has repented, has lost his family, and he has repented. And it's very interesting in visiting with him. It's like a falling leaf in his mind is like a crashing boulder. So sensitive now to the things of the Lord. That's what he does. And that's how we grow, and that's how we advance through the disciplines he gives us. What's also interesting about this use of this word in our proverb, verse 27, the troublemaker, the good for nothing, is when David, at the end of his life, he tells his son Solomon, "Now, after I'm dead, kill this worthless, good-for-nothing Shimei." So think about that. The wrath of the king was on him every day that David reigned, but the judgment hadn't come out yet. What do you think it says for the fool? The fool of the proverb. He abides under the wrath of God every day, and yet judgment has not come upon him. And then it will at the end. That's why I found this word so interesting. The fool, says Solomon, is this worthless, good for nothing. He is one and the same as the one who prepares, meaning to express a resemblance in action, in character. It's translated here as mischief. You may have evil in your translation. And here is how he is in his behavior. He's an arsonist by his mouth. Mischievous speech, that's the fool. His speech is like a fire, a scorching fire. His mouth is like a flamethrower, setting people aflame, ablaze. That's the fool. That's his way. Stay clear of him. You can't change him. He's a fool. A leopard can't change his spots. A man must be changed from the inside out. Stay clear of the fool. Here's 28. A perverse person. Here's our first perversity. The perverse person unleashes conflict, and the slanderer is the one who alienates a close friend. His opening words, a perverse person is one who would change God's moral order. Now that's perversity. Perverse. God has established a moral order in this world, and perversion seeks to change it. We saw this back in Proverbs 15:4, perverse tongue. It fractures, it breaks apart, it separates. That's the idea, that's perversion. You see it most clearly in the creation, don't you? God created the cosmos and the earth, and he declared in Genesis 1:31 that he saw all that he made and it was good. Perversion comes in as a result of the adversary beguiling the woman, questioning the word of God, the moral order to the way that the universe was created in wisdom, remember? And thus fell to the man and the woman the consequences. And everything changed. Think about it. The creation changed. They changed. They changed one to another. And that's what our society, with its perverse mentality, seeks to do. Change everything. This is progress, they say to us. Don't be puritanical. Don't go back to the Word of God. What foolishness. God made them male and female. That was the moral order from the creation. But no, what does our society say? No, we don't recognize that anymore. No. This whole area of gender law now, it's a brand new area. What are we going to do? The Title IX generation that we've had for the last 30 years. Now it's going to be a debate among themselves. What are we going to do with these transgender athletes? They're beating women in everything. Imagine that. It's perversion. It's corruption of the order that it was established. So man mars the creation. That's what he does. Genesis 3:5, the serpent told the woman, "For God knows, when you eat, your eyes will be opened." And the woman saw that the fruit of the tree was good for food and pleasing to the eye and desirable for gaining wisdom. That whole sentence is all wrong. See, she perceived upon that fruit. That fruit just stayed fruit. She made the projections upon it. Oh, this will be good for me. This is what I need. She had an entire garden to eat of, but the enemy got her to focus on one thing, the one thing you don't have. You can't find wisdom there. How do you find wisdom? By hearing the Word of God and applying it to your life. That's skill for living. That's wisdom. And so man has been lost ever since. Here's the top line of the proverb. It says the perverse person unleashes conflict. We've already seen this. Proverbs 6:14. With, there's our word, perversity in his heart, he continually devises evil, spreading strife. King James calls it sowing discord. Anything he can to disrupt, to split apart, to tear asunder, that's the work of this fool, the perverse mind. Most often, It's through the mouth. Stay clear of people like this. Always carping on things. Just listen to them speak. They'll identify themselves to you. Specifically, this foolish behavior is identified here in the proverb as slander. The Greek translation of the Old Testament reads this way. Will kindle a torch of deceit with mischief. Literally, the word is slander. And in this form, it means to find fault or to grumble, to murmur. That's your old King James word. The standard lexicon translates the word to whisper maliciously. Psalm 106, verse 25, used of describing Israel's behavior on their way to the land of promise under Moses. They murmured, said the King James, in their tent. They grumbled, New American Standard in the NIV, grumbled on their way. And the results of that foolish behavior, well, it went into practice. It's the open rebellion. I've had enough. I've had enough of you, Moses, said the sons of Korah out in the wilderness. And it decimates relationships. It decimated the people's relationship with the Lord Himself. And so close associations are severed, said the proverb. From murmuring in the tent to outward rebellion against Moses and thus against the Lord. The Apostle Paul, 1 Corinthians 10, says their behavior stands as a living witness to us believers today. They are types, examples, shadows. 1 Corinthians 10:11. And teaching us that you and I are not to grumble, not to murmur as some of them did, and thus were killed by the destroying angel. Thus says the proverb, look, close friendships are severed. This word to alienate, it means spatial alienation, separation. And translated that way in Genesis chapter 13, where Abram and Lot, here's your word, separated, parted company. Lot chose for himself the best of the real estate down towards Sodom. And Abram, from the seeing eye, he got the worst of that trade. But the blessing of God was on Abram, not on the bright lights of Sodom. Now, we've seen this proverb before. 14:11, this same concept. The house of the wicked will be destroyed, but the tent of the upright will flourish. Wouldn't think it would be that way, would you? Why, the house is superior to the tent in every way you can imagine. But God, His wisdom, is not in the house. It resides in the tent. And thus the final word of Proverbs 14:11, flourish. Literally the word means to bud. It's growing. It's expanding. Translated to flourish in most of your English versions. Dan taught us just a few weeks back, Psalm 92, verse 11. It sets a contrast to the temporary existence of the prosperity of the wicked against the righteous and the will of God that will be with His people. And therefore, the psalmist says they will flourish. Same words, Proverbs 14:11. Like a palm tree, said the psalmist. They'll grow like the cedars of Lebanon, said the psalmist. Planted, now listen to this, planted in the house of the Lord. Now that's interesting, isn't it? Because where you have that word planted before is Psalm 1. And you have that image of the believer being the tree. He's the one that's planted, same word. And where is he planted? By rivers of water. That's an image for the Word of God. See, his roots go deep into the Scriptures, and therefore, he's always alive. And you look at these trees in the winter and you say, cut that one down. That's dead as a doornail. No, it's just not in its season. So are believers at times not in their season. But wait, God has a time. God has a place for everything, said Solomon in Ecclesiastes. And that tree will bud and it will grow because it's alive. Now, here's what I want you to think about. Remember the way David describes the wicked? That's why I wanted you to set a tab on Psalm 37. Remember the way he describes the wicked man, Psalm 37? It's 37:35. He said, I've seen a wicked and ruthless man. Now, some of your translations say flourish. That's not our word. It's not our word from Psalm 92. It's not our word from Proverbs 14. No, it's not the word flourish at all. It is literally spreading. Spreading himself. That's the word. Psalm 37:35. I've seen a wicked and ruthless man spreading himself like a green tree. Okay, so think about the image. He's spreading himself. He's big. He's large. He's bold. He's got a big trunk. And he casts a large shadow. That's the wicked man. Look at him. He's grand. He is great. He occupies space. That's the idea. Then look what it says. He's like a green tree in his, look at this word, native. Native soil. I looked that word up. Exodus 2:19 is where that word comes from. It refers to the fellow kinsmen, all the tribes linked together by a common father, Abram. Great-grandfather. Grandfather Isaac, father Jacob. You see, the Jewish people are all, here's your word, native to one another. They're all linked together. That's the word. This grand tree, he's planted in native soil, common soil to one another. The tree and the soil are linked together. You don't plant a pine tree on the equator. It's the wrong place. It's the wrong environment. It's the wrong soil. Plant them high in the Rockies. Colder air, better environment. But look at this. Psalm 37:35, the wicked man spreading himself in native soil that's linked to the tree. What would we call that? Well, you and I would call that perfect conditions. That's what we'd call it. Perfect environment. Malcolm Gladwell wrote a book, Outliers, talking about perfect conditions that things took place. Everything was set up. That's the idea. It's native soil. And here's the question for you and I as we ponder the Proverbs. Do I want perfect conditions? The house? Proverbs 14? Or do I want the tent? Well, the answer, of course, is I want to be wherever the Lord wants me to be. I don't want perfect conditions. I don't want what my senses tell me are perfect. I want to be where the Lord wants me to be. Because you see, I've got Psalm 37:35 directing my mind. It says the wicked man, he's planted in perfect conditions. But look what it says next, verse 36. Look at that. He's gone. He passed away. Was no more. The inevitability of life is death. Learn the Word of God. Study the Word of God. Think about the Word of God. And here's what will happen. And this is the proverb. You'll be growing. You'll be establishing yourself in life. And at the end, here's the end. Philippians 1:21, the apostle from a Roman prison. For me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. To die. To die. Well, that's the one thing that we don't want, right? I don't want to die. I'm afraid of death. Death is that blackness out there. But it wasn't to Paul. It was gain. It was advancement. It was flourishing. Now you know what it is to be planted in the house of God. I don't need a perfect life. I don't need a perfect economy and a perfect political environment. I need the Lord. And that's all I need every day. Here's 29. A violent person entices his companion. That word companion's translated neighbor. We know the neighbor. He's a third party, not a friend, not an associate. He's a random man on the street. And this neighbor leads him in a way that is not good. This opening, a violent person, that's the murder in the book of Proverbs. Violence is murder in the Proverbs. And you see, he's going to do whatever is necessary for his own advancement, whatever it takes, whatever the cost. Here he's using his mouth to move, to motivate. Look at that word entices. It's our familiar word, way, actually, used in Proverbs 6:6 with the ant, for the way, the habit of the ant. It's the walk, it's the way. This is the way he lives. This is how he survives. This is how he advances through life. We saw it with Charles Manson, didn't we? To be a member of the family, you murdered. That's what you did. You see it with the mafia. In order to move up, you murder. That's what this is. And the scripture says it's not good, that phrase. It is not good. Here's the way it's found in the opposite. Psalm 36, the director of music. David, the servant of the Lord, an oracle is within my heart concerning the sinfulness of the wicked. There's no fear of God before his eyes. For in his own eyes he flatters himself too much to detect or hate his sin. The words of his mouth are wicked and deceitful, and he has ceased to be wise and do good. There it is. Behavior. He can't do good because he's desperate to take care of himself. And you and I, in his way, are just collateral damage. That's it. God save us from ourselves. Here's the final proverb. The blinking of the eye, the winking here of the eyes. That's the King James shutting his eyes. One devises perversity. Pursing his lips, he brings evil to pass. This proverb is tied to our previous one, giving us another aspect to the murderous or violent person. Here he is, the fool, devising by gesturing what his eyes and mouth behind the victim's mouth is able to obtain. The blinking of the eyes, the pursing of the lips, modify the devised perversity that this person brings to his day. He brings evil to pass. That's what he does. And we've studied this gesture actually before. Proverbs 6, 12 and 13. A scoundrel and a villain who winks with his eye. The idea of the word is to pinch the eye closed. It was apparently a malicious sign used in the ancient Near East. David says, Psalm 35, verse 19, let them not gloat over me who are my enemies without cause. Let not those who hate me without reason maliciously, and here's our word, wink, pinch the eye, wink the eye. See, it's a malicious gesture. So we know the fool not only by what comes out of his mouth, but the gestures that he displays. Proverbs 15:14, the mouth of fools that feed on folly. Here's another lesson from the Proverbs. The very careful gesture of the fool. They are foolishness and they are wickedness. Now, I want you to look at this word devise. It's an interesting word. It means to plan creatively. It means to scheme. The root of the word actually is to think, to perceive. Here's the way Isaiah the prophet uses the word. I think you'll find it quite interesting. Describing our Lord Jesus Christ 700 years before his birth. In a passage that you are probably very familiar with, Isaiah 53:4, the NIV translates the word considered. The New American Standard in King James translates this word devised as esteemed. Here's the verse. Surely he hath borne our griefs, carried our sorrows, and here's the root of that word, esteemed. We ourselves, said the prophet, esteemed him not. What does that word mean, esteemed? It means we processed, we thought one thing, but it was entirely different. Here's Proverbs 16:30. The vowel points are slightly changed that translates this word. To devise, to plan. And here's the way it's used in a very fascinating way. Genesis 50:20. Thinking, devising, planning, scheming. Joseph tells his brothers, you, there's the word, thought, planned, schemed, devised evil against me, but God made it for good. He checkmated you on everything you did. You know what? God's protection is over you the same way. And all the wicked schemes will not crush you. God will checkmate them all. And as Paul says, he will bring me safely home. Our proverb says, thinking perversely. Perversity. The mind of the fool, his plan, his scheme, perversity. As we said, it's a byproduct of the fall. God created the universe good, and perversity entered in through the fall. God made everything in peace. Perversity took all that peace away. With the man and the woman in the garden. She was his helpmate, but not anymore. Now there is personal hostility between the man and the woman, between the creation, like the serpent, and the man and the woman. And the mind is now tilted towards self, advantaging myself to disadvantage you. That's the work product of the evil mind, the contorted mind. That's what's perverse. That's what the natural wickedness does, and it's common to all of us. So the Proverbs teach, seek, run, pursue wisdom, the skill for living. And here is the first use of that word perverse for us. Proverbs 2:12. Wisdom will save you from the ways of wickedness, from men whose words are perverse. There it is. On 9/11, when those jets flew into those towers in New York City, killing thousands of people who just went to work that day. That's all. They just went to work. And in many of the Arab countries and many of the sects among those Muslim countries, there was celebration in the streets. There was joy. There were parades. That is the perverse mind of the proverb that schemes, the mind that brings harm, that hurts the unsuspecting victim. But consider the contrast as we close the proverb. You see, man has his plan, but you see, God has his own plan. Oh, yes. Man plans, but God has his plan. And here it is. Here it is for you, and here it is for me. It's Ephesians 1:11. Being predestined according to the purpose of Him who works all things after the counsel of His own will. That's His plan. See, He's going to bring you through. Not take you around, He's going to take you through. And while going through, He's making you into the image of His precious Son. Here's the end of the proverb. The wickedness of the person in the end of this proverb, he brings evil to pass, meaning he completes it to an end. We would say it's accomplished. He did it. He did it by the work of his own mind and by his own schemes and plans. But my friends, here is what God told Joshua. He said, "No man shall stand against you all the days of your life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with you." So what is it that you're afraid of? Disease? Hardship? Separation? Finances? Whatever it is. It's nothing. God has a plan. He's working that plan. He is accomplishing His will today in you, through you, by Him. And you're going to get home right on time, express delivered by the plan of God. And nothing, nothing, nothing will thwart that plan. There are no schemes of the wicked that will bring you down. Christ has conquered them all, and you are His child, and He will bring you home. And that's the proverb. Let's pray. Thank you, Father, for another study of Your Word. Thank You for the blessings that You bring to each and every one of us through the abundance of Your grace and mercy each and every day. To accomplish Your perfect plan in us. Thank You, Lord, for Your great faithfulness. Although we are continually unfaithful, You are faithful. As You've been to Believer's Chapel over all these many decades, and will continue to be as long as we honor Your Word. So bless these, Your saints, and refresh their spirits this morning with a great zeal to live for You. In Jesus' name, amen.